All right, well, understanding effective discipline. What did we talk about last week? Stuff. Methods. Right? Mostly methods. How do you discipline? What tools do you have available to you for discipline? In case you haven't noticed, I'm doing this class kind of backwards. I'm starting with the end result, which is the application of discipline to the child. And I'm working my way back to how do you get to the application of discipline to child. And then we're going to be talking about how do you decide how to get to the application of discipline to child. So I'm working backwards through the philosophy of discipline. So we talked about three forms of responses, right? Immediate, got to happen right now. The in the moment, but planned, scheduled response. And the long-term effects of the discipline process, and a discipline process that is designed to have long-term effects. Now let's talk about the background of that. Consistency. Right? You either have consistency or you don't have consistency. If you don't have consistency, you are not teaching. Or, worse, you teach the child the worst thing that you can possibly teach a child. The outcome does not behave on the, does not depend on the input. Why is that the worst possible thing that you can teach a child? What happens if a child learns that it doesn't matter what I do? Sometimes I'm going to get spanked. Sometimes I won't get spanked. Sometimes I'll get rewarded. It doesn't matter what I do. I can try and be good and still get spanked. I can do what I feel like doing and either get spanked or my parents will ignore me. Okay? That's the worst possible thing that you can teach a child.
You mentioned last week that that makes the child miserable.
Okay. Child is miserable. Child's behavior will be unmodifiable. Okay. If your goal in discipline is to teach them proper behavior, expectations, boundaries, barriers, and lead them to Christ, lead them to Christian moral behavior, Christian moral thinking, and you instead lead them to an understanding that their behavior doesn't matter and that they can do whatever they want and that the consequences of their behavior is purely random, you have what you see around you in society today. A lot of kids who do whatever they feel like because it really doesn't matter what they do. And either because they have really abusive parents in the sense that they're physically, verbally, emotionally abusive, or really abusive parents in the sense that they don't discipline them. Okay, those are two forms of abuse, but both abuse, because in either case you're teaching the child that there are no consequences for their behavior. And then you have kids who grow up to run companies like Enron or become major investment brokers like Bernie Madoff or I do what I want because it's best for me. And in reality, folks, that is the natural outcome of the non-Christian worldview. Right? You are either living your life to God's glory, in which case you obey God, or you're not, in which case you obey yourself. You are not recognizing any higher authority, therefore you are the highest authority, therefore the most logical pattern of behavior, which we surprisingly don't all step to, but the most logical pattern of behavior is do whatever you want. Do whatever makes you happy. Because there's no consequence. There's no eternal consequence. It's just the now. And if it's just the now, I might as well do the thing that's going to make me happiest right now. And only the fact that our society is primarily founded on Christian principles and primarily founded on Western thought, which is founded on Christian principles, has allowed us to maintain moral integrity in our society and our laws to the extent that we have. But there's a tremendous amount of erosion going on right now because society is saying, it doesn't matter anymore. Everything's relative. It's up to you. It's what matters to you. That's the way society is going. So we have to fight against that. Now, consistency is the foundation of all that. So let's talk about consistent response. Same behavior receives the same consequence. Okay? Pretty simple. But not really that simple. Right? Same behavior receives the same consequence, but what if you're in a store versus if you're in the home? Okay, you're going to behave differently. Okay, what if it's the 15th time they've done it or the first time they've done it? You're going to behave differently. Be slow to escalate. Okay, it gets much more annoying to you much more quickly than you need to escalate. Okay, it's the third time, the fourth time. Time this child has done this. Okay, but it's only the fifth time the child has done this. Yeah, it's time for some escalation, but don't go insane. Okay? Depends on what it is, but you still don't want to go insane. Okay? The same thing is true of relaxation. Okay? If the child doesn't do it for 5 minutes, you don't step all the way back to ground zero. The child doesn't do it for a month, then maybe you do step back to a little bit above ground zero. Okay? You do relax the discipline. They can build up to a level of consequence. They also need to ease off of that level of consequence. You don't establish a hard and fast rule that this behavior always results in the most severe form of execution. Right? And then never step away from that. Because we make mistakes, your children make mistakes. They will do something either because it's an ingrained habit that they haven't corrected yet, or because they just forgot. You shouldn't come down on them like a ton of bricks for that necessarily. If it's obviously a defiant behavior, if they're repeating it in your face, okay, maybe it is execution time, right? Stone them for being defiant to their parents. Method shift. What do I mean by method shift? If the discipline is not working, change it. Okay? The goal of discipline is to modify the behavior, to teach. If they're not learning, you're not teaching. If you've reached consequence level 45, consequence level 45 is not effective, and neither was 44 or 43 or 42 or 41, all the way down. You don't understand your child well enough. You need to understand what it is that makes your child tick so that you can understand how they modify your how to modify their behavior. And maybe you have a child like my son who you could spank all day long and he would giggle. Spanking is not level 45 for that child. It's pretty close to level 1. Because he understands that he's not supposed to like it, so it modifies his behavior. But it's not really a severe consequence for him. On the other hand, sending him to his room, or worse yet, what I had to impose this morning when he was pulling on a grown-up's arm, trying to drag him across the room to get his attention and get him to focus solely on him, was I made him sit. That was a severe consequence. Okay? By himself, no one talking to him, him not talking to anybody. That's level 45. For him. That is, you have gone way over the bounds and this behavior is unacceptable. So you have to know your child. Shift your methods. Okay? But what's wrong is wrong. That is, what you don't do is say, this behavior is now okay. That is important to maintain consistency. Comparisons and competition, if you have more than one child, your children will watch very carefully to see what kind of response the other child gets to their behavior. And competition, they will try and throw their sibling under the bus to get their child, the other child, to get that behavior. Okay? That brings in a whole other realm of discipline, the tattling. What's tattling? What's not tattling? What's okay to tell me? What's not okay to tell me? Why are you telling me this? Are you telling me this solely for the purpose of getting your sibling in trouble? Or are you telling me this because you're afraid that if your sibling does jump off the garage roof, it might get hurt? Okay? But be very aware of both comparisons and competition. We have had foster children. Foster children are not allowed to be corporally punished. We have had foster children who didn't understand why we didn't love them as much as our own children because we didn't spank them. Okay? And you don't want to tell this child, I don't spank you because I'm not allowed. Because then he's got a lever. But you don't want to give them because you can't spank him. Okay? Children are comparing all the time. They're watching how you behave toward each other. It matters. Okay? Ensure the promise is kept. This is a big one. Big one. Half of ensuring the promise is kept is making yourself keep from making promises you can't keep. Leave yourself an out. My wife and I are very good at this. Not 100% consistent, but very good at this. If we can, we will take you to the playground today. If it works out, we will try. If you promise your child that you are going to take your child to the playground today and the car explodes and the house burns down, they will understand and be disappointed. And it erodes just a little bit their trust that you mean what you say. They will understand. They get it. But it still breaks that trust. If the car exploded and the house burned down, why not go to the playground? Okay? Keep it anyway. If you make a ridiculous promise, if you make a promise that you can't keep or is really, really, really hard to keep, keep it. Okay? Even if it will disappoint another adult, keep the promise to your kids. That's a really hard thing to do. But I read a book a long time ago about an author about finances, but he was talking about keeping your promises to your children. He talked about the fact that they had left the house in the morning and he had casually said to his son, and he was from the Pittsburgh area, that we will stop by and watch the airplanes take off and land today on our way home. Right? Go to the Pittsburgh airport, sit at the end of the runway, and watch some planes go by. Casual thing that he said. They went through the day, they played, they had lots of fun, they went shopping, they did all these things. He looked at his watch, it was time to get home because it was dinner time and they had guests coming over and his wife was expecting him. And they took off, and he made the turn past the airport to head toward home, and his child broke out in tears, wailing, crying. The fact that they spent the whole day together, The fact that they had a great time together, the fact that he had a reason and a need to be home, didn't overwhelm the fact that he had made a promise to the child, and the child did not forget. And the child does not forget. Okay? He had a decision to make. And at that time, he made the decision. He was going to turn around, and he went back to the airport, and they spent half an hour watching planes take off and land at the airport. It was a great thing to do, something you should consider. It's also something you can't always do. Sometimes you just can't keep the promise. But be aware of the fact that your children are listening to everything that you say, and that every promise that you make and break makes discipline much harder. Much harder. And especially promises related to discipline. We've all heard it. You've been in the grocery store. You've heard the mom who is not trying to impress on the child good behavior, but is trying to impress all the adults standing around her that she is a disciplinarian, and says, "If you don't stop that right now, I'm going to spank you, whoop your butt, whatever. You're not going to get a lollipop. All right, I'm going to give you the lollipop, but that's it." You just watch that whole episode goes on and on and on and on. What's the kid doing? How far can I go over the bounds, because we're in a public situation and I've already humiliated my mom, and because I've humiliated her, she's obeying me. How far can I go? Because the child does not want to be in control. The child wants you to be in control. And the child will push you and push you and push you and push you until you finally give up and take control. Meanwhile, you have broken promise after broken promise after broken promise after broken promise. Now, any of the threats that you made that you didn't carry through on become meaningless to the child. Just like we talked last week about 1, 2, 3, right? 1, 2, 3 magic and I'm counting. If you ingrain that system, for many child, 1 means nothing, right? You're not going to do anything until you reach 2. If you reach 2, then I'm in the position where 3 will take place. So I better modify my behavior. But if you say 1, what you're really saying is, I'm not upset enough yet to put you at 2, but it's coming. I've got time. So 1 becomes meaningless. If over and over and over again, you make threats that you don't carry through on, those threats become meaningless to your child. If you break a promise, explain. I really meant to do this, but I can't. Okay? Explain.
Wouldn't be too much to ask to say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have made that promise. Because, like you said, if you make a promise, you can't keep. That was your mistake, not theirs.
You're at fault. Even if that promise was to spank them. And you don't. You're at fault. You may have to make that promise up later. Whether that promise was to take them to the airport to watch planes or to spank them. You may have to take them to the airport to watch planes twice as long. You may have to spank them twice as hard. I'm in a situation now where I cannot spank you. However, when we get home, I'm going to spank you twice. Once, because I promised to do it, And the second time, because my promising to do it didn't change your behavior. And you need to understand that I mean what I say. Okay? I'm not going to keep my response. I'm not going to keep my promise right now, but I will keep my promise eventually. Okay? Threat is a promise. It's not just the good stuff that you have to follow through on. It's the bad stuff. Okay, that's part of the behavior. You also have to model the behavior for your children. Okay? If it's not okay for your children to do, children are mimics. Children are minor birds. Okay? Children will repeat things that you say. As many of us have found out, to our discomfort at least. But they don't just mimic words, they mimic behaviors. If you want your child to be honest, you need to be honest. In all things. Okay? You find the dollar on the ground, your child watches you find the dollar on the ground. Do you pick up and turn to the counter and say, "I think you dropped this"? Or do you slip it into your pocket? Which behavior do you want your child to do for life? Yes.
Dad says, and this is, someone actually told me this. Dad said, "No, you shouldn't go out in the yard and play baseball. It's the Sabbath." Next week, he's out playing with him. And this person who is an adult said, "I never knew what it was we were supposed to do and what we weren't supposed to do." And next time he said we weren't supposed to play baseball, just, okay, Dad doesn't feel like going out. But there wasn't any kind of standard established.
Mm-hmm. Your attitude, your anger. I really hope my children don't grow up to drive like I do. At least I hope, you know, okay, I hope they drive as well as I do, because I think I'm a pretty good driver. But not with the same attitude that I tend to display when I drive. And that's a challenge for me. It really is. I try really hard to work on that, and I'm not very good at it. But my children watch and listen when I'm driving the car. When I'm talking about the neighbors, when I'm talking to the neighbors, when I'm talking about work, when I come home from work, and coworkers, they listen, they absorb, they reflect language. Now, are there things that you can do that your children can't do? Okay? So it's not a hard and fast rule. There are things that are okay for you, but are not okay for your children. Because of the fact that they are children. That doesn't mean that you can't do adult things. You're an adult. But you also need to draw the line for them and explain. You can't do that. No, you can't have the car keys, Janae. Okay. Yes.
I was looking at a Baby Blues comic book thing, but it was the mom said she saw a mess on the floor beside Zoe's high chair, and she said a bad word, and then she went, "Oops, mommy said a bad word. I have to put myself in timeout now." Like, she was modeling for the child to, mm-hmm. to show her that it's not okay to do that.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the end of that cartoon was that she got out of cleaning up the mess because she put herself in timeout. Daddy had to clean up the mess. Okay, the flip side of that, if you want your children to do it, you have to model the behavior as well. Sharing. Do we share? Not so much. Do you model that behavior for your children? Faith. Prayer. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Self-control. If you want your children to do it, you need to do it. They will mimic your good behaviors as well as they mimic your bad. Not as well as. Mimic your bad behaviors a lot better than they mimic your good ones. But they will mimic your good behaviors. Okay. Now we're stepping out one more layer. Draw the battle lines. Why is it important to draw the battle lines? Draw the boundaries. Not just know what they are, but draw them. Figure out what they are. You can't enforce a rule unless you know what the rule is. How effective would the police force be if they didn't have laws? You're driving down the street, you get pulled over. The policeman said, "You're going to jail." Why? Because I said so. You're driving down the street 120 miles an hour. The policeman ignores you. The next person drives down the street 40 miles an hour. The policeman pulls him over. Takes him to jail. Why? Because you're not allowed to drive 40 miles an hour. He's driving 120 miles an hour. Well, it wasn't 40. Know the boundaries. You can't enforce boundaries unless you have them defined. Work together to set the lines and to change the lines. There are behaviors which I consider to be okay based on the way that I was raised that my wife does not consider to be okay based on the way that she was raised. We had to talk about those and decide, is it okay or is it not okay? Is this a boundary that we are going to enforce? Those are really hard boundaries for me to enforce. But I have to enforce them. Because we have agreed together that it's a boundary. And my support of her and my love of her and my children's respect for her depend upon my enforcing with her the same boundaries. I don't say regardless of my personal opinion. I say my personal opinion has to change. I can't any longer say it's okay to do that because it's not. We together have decided it's not okay. Therefore, it's not okay. You have to decide together what the boundaries are, agree on the boundaries, and enforce the boundaries together. And change them. And after that, I say keep up to date on the changes in the plan. As your children grow, as your children's behavior modifies, you need to change your boundaries. For a long, long, long time, it was not okay for my children to step out onto a parking lot surface without holding my wife's hand or my hand. They had to wait beside the door of the car for one of us to come and hold their hand. We eventually reached the point where they were allowed to step out on the parking lot surface without holding our hand, but they couldn't cross a lane of the parking lot without holding our hand. They could wait by the front of the car, they could wait by the back of the car, but they couldn't cross a lane of the parking lot. Now, I have some children who are allowed to cross a lane of the parking lot to get to the sidewalk on their own. I have other children who are not. And I have other children who still can't get out of the car by themselves. Okay? We have a whole varied set of regulations depending upon where the child is in their development, in their behavior. Those rules change. We need to understand together, where is that kid? Because, back to consistency, if I yell at the child for stepping away from the car, and my wife just walks off and leaves the child beside the car, what's the message? You need to be on the same page. You need to understand what the rules are.
The message is basically you can do what you want because we don't really care.
Or mom doesn't care and I do. It's... Sorry, couldn't resist. It's interesting when we're taking karate class. Over the years, the forms and the methods and the steps that you use for the various techniques have been altered. They have changed. Sometimes you do two moves together. Sometimes you do one at a time. Sometimes you lift your arm up. Sometimes you put it down. These kind of things. They're little tweaks and modifications in the process. That's insanely frustrating as a student to go in and today the teacher says, no, your heel should not be on the ground. And the next day the teacher says, get that heel down. I want to see that heel down. Two different teachers. But one of them was trained 8 years ago when the senior instructor said, this is the way that it's done. And one of them was trained 4 years ago when the senior instructor said, no, we've seen this behavior pattern. We're trying to modify it, so we're changing the rules. Don't do that to your children. Don't change the rules midstream. Agree. And make line changes official. What do I mean by that? You decide together, you are now allowed to cross a lane of the parking lot. Tell the kid he's allowed to do it. Why? Number one, so that he won't stand by the car when you go inside the supermarket. But number two, and much more important, so that he doesn't think that you forgot about the rule and just aren't applying it anymore. So that he doesn't think he's getting away with breaking the rule and not being disciplined for it. So that he doesn't think you're too busy to enforce discipline. That there are times when the rule applies, that is when you're paying attention. And there are times when the rule doesn't apply because you're too busy. Deal with the exceptions, then review. I didn't make a rule about whether or not you're allowed to shove beans up your nose. Never occurred to me to sit down and lay out a rule about permission or not permission for shoving beans up your nose. I considered it obvious. If you don't have a rule and you have a situation that needs to be responded to, deal with it. Don't handicap yourself by saying, I never told her she couldn't shove beans up her nose, so I guess I have to let her do it. And tell her that in the future it's not okay, because now we have a rule. Parenting is not like the legal system. There is no ex post facto rule in parenting. Okay? The law does not have to exist before the behavior occurs. Yes?
We have a category of phrases at home where we say things you never thought you'd have to say. Well, there's a whole category of those, and you say them, and you're like, did I really just say... don't stick beans up your nose.
Ask me how I know. Okay? And review. Was my response to the child sticking beans up their nose okay? Did I respond okay? Did I overreact? What should I have done? And together, What's the next step? If the child continues to stick beans up their nose, or if another child mimics this child in sticking beans up their nose, and I'm using a ludicrous example, but you will definitely come across situations that you didn't plan for. What is the proper response to the child going out, sitting in the car, and beeping the horn? Didn't plan for it. Might well happen. Yes.
The response to a child going out, sitting in the front seat, and beeping the horn just for their own amusement is whack, whack, whack.
My daughter knows that we have a rule for that one.
Well, that one happens to fall in the category of safety issues, too. So.
Right. So we do have a rule for that one. But that's the idea. Time. Okay, I'm out of time. I have one more slide. We are going to wrap up family discipline next week. We are going to sing a few more psalms next week in preparation. And we're going to wrap up family discipline next week. And then we're going to move on into church discipline. So now we need to work some things out with the CE committee and session and whatnot as far as when we're going to have a couple of dedicated weeks for psalm singing, because I have a vacation coming up. My family and I are going to be traveling, so that will be hopefully an opportunity for you all to do some more singing. But meanwhile, thank you all for your patience, and we'll move on into wider strategies next week, hopefully finishing up family discipline. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing of family, for the blessing of fellowship and friendship, for the opportunity to learn from the experience of others. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that you have given those who have gone before, and for the wisdom that you have given us in your word, for how it is that we are to care for our families and how it is that we are to care about one another in discipline. Lord, pray that you would be with us each this week, and pray that you would add to our lives a special blessing of a time of discipline with you that will allow us to grow. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.